Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We praise, rejoicing in God, Paul says. You know, praising the Lord, or as we often say, worshiping the Lord, singing to Him, singing about Him, these are ways to cultivate that heart that will rejoice in God. It's a beautiful thing.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, in a message titled, Rejoicing in God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Stars that you could stick our whole solar system in, you know, carve out the middle of a certain star and you can stick our entire solar system in the middle of it with plenty of room to spare. And, you know, when you start getting an idea of the vastness of this thing, and then you bring it back to, wow, God created this. And then you start to think, what kind of a God creates a universe like this? A universe that is just, it's beyond our ability to grasp it. That's a great God. That's a glorious God. And we're told about this God that He actually holds this universe in the span of His hand. So, you know, the universe is great. It's vast. It's unfathomable from the human standpoint. But to God, it's just a matter of a few, you know, what we would see as a few inches. So when I start to get a hold of this a little bit, I just start to think, wow, God is, he's so far beyond anything that I really could comprehend. I remember a few years ago, I was watching the little video called The Privileged Planet. If you've never seen that, that would be a great way to kind of get you going in what we're talking about here. But I was watching this video, The Privileged Planet, put out by the Discovery Institute, the guys up in Seattle, intelligent design guys. And the Privileged Planet, you know, it's looking at the universe and the galaxy and then the solar system and then coming out to Earth and just showing how Earth is unique. As far as anybody knows, there's no place like Earth. There's a lot of theories about, you know, multiple universes and things like that, multiverses, but those are just theories of people who don't want to, you know, they just ways to try to get around the obvious. So I'm watching this thing, and as I'm watching it, I'm just starting to get this sense of how great God is. And I have to confess, there was a moment where it became disturbing. It became disturbing to me. It's like, wait a second, this is too much. This, you know, and I think it was a little bit like, you know, maybe Job felt or Daniel or one of them where, you know, coming into that encounter with God, what do? They fell down as dead. I didn't fall down as dead, but I was disturbed. And then I was thankful that this God who created everything, that this God loves me. I'm so glad. Because somebody who could create this, to think that he might not be benevolent, that's a frightening thought. So we meditate on God's power, but then we meditate on God's wisdom. And we see his wisdom in, again, the creation, but coming more specifically to here on the earth. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to just sort of take so much for granted. It's easy for us to take, you know, the vegetation, the trees, and all of that stuff. You know, that's a tree. You know, so what? Go live in a desert for a while, and then you'll know why trees are great. But, you know, to actually think about it, to find out a little bit about this photosynthesis thing and, you know, how the plants, you know, draw on the oxygen and, you know, put off, or the carbon dioxide. They bring that in, and then they put out the oxygen. And, you know, we don't really think about it, but these plants are actually helping us live by putting off the oxygen that we need. But then, you know, just looking into some of the details of those kinds of things, or, you know, looking more specifically at the animals, whether they be your pets or, you know, other kinds of animals. I've been taking advantage of living close to the ocean and spending a lot of time down at the beach just there and, you know, looking at the different types of birds. And the other day as I was running along, there were probably like 50 pelicans all in a perfect line, just, you know, cruising along. And I thought, now who told them to line up like that, you know? How do they know to do that? But, you know, again, it's like stuff that you just sort of take for granted, but then you start looking at it and you think, wow, that is amazing. And all of these kinds of life forms and things. But you see, as we look at them and as we stop for a minute and we pause and we go, wait a second, God made that thing. The poor evolutionist. I mean, these guys are destined to live in concrete buildings. You know, it's just, that's where it's all going to end up. Because for them, all of this beauty and everything else, all it was just an accident anyway. But no, you look at it and you see, now God made this and all of this intricacy and all of this fine detail and all of this, you know, just amazing colors and all of these things. It's fascinating. And then, of course, the wisdom just in ourselves. You know, we ourselves are, you know, as the scripture says, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, you know, maybe you're like me and you're not, you know, you just didn't do all that well sitting in the science class. Don't let that discourage you. There's lots of wonderful things to glean, but we do need to take a little bit of time and just, you know, see some of what's really there just under the surface. You know, we take for granted our vision. I see you, you see me. We just, yeah, of course, we see each other. But do we know how this is working, this mechanism? How it is that we see each other? How it is that I can differentiate between all of these various shades and colors and all of this kind of stuff? You know, these are the kinds of things that we would do well to stop and ponder. How it is that you can hear me right now? How it is that I can hear myself? How it is that the sound, you know, is going forth, the sound waves, and then, you know, coming in through the ear canal and this whole thing that's happening there, and then my brain's reading, your brain's reading. All of this stuff is, you see, this is the stuff that God did. And this is the stuff that will help us if we just would take the time to stop and ponder it. This is the stuff that will help us to realize the greatness of our God and will develop in us a swifter tendency toward rejoicing and toward worshiping.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
But then think also and meditate on God's providential goodness. Again, all of the stuff that we just sort of take for granted. The sun, the rain, the fruit of the earth. Every now and again, I just have like a weird thought. And I have some really weird thoughts that I would never tell you about. But then these are not that weird. But, you know, they just kind of randomly come. But the other day, I started thinking about, it was as I was guzzling down a glass of water. And I was being so refreshed by this glass of water. And I was thinking as I was drinking it, now I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to take a shower in water. And then I just started thinking of all of the things that water does. H2O. How God made this stuff. And, you know, I mean, you know, you go out and wash your car with it and then you guzzle it down and, you know, you jump under it and it gets you clean. And then on a hot day, you jump into it and it cools you off and refreshes you. And, you know, all of the wonderful aspects of water. And that we live in a time when we've got running water. And it just flows right out of the faucet. And not, you know, most people that have lived in history didn't have that wonderful privilege. And some people still don't. But, you know, these kinds of things. The providential goodness of God giving us the sun, the rain, the seasons, the fruit of the earth. Do we stop to think about the food that's on our table that, for the most part, it's all stuff that God provided? Oh, men have taken God's ingredients and, you know, developed different recipes and things, obviously. But, you know, you look on the package and you see all that's in there. And generally speaking, it's all the stuff that God put in the earth. But here's my question. Do we stop? You know, we all give thanks for our food, right? But do we really give thanks? Do we really stop and go, gosh, I can't believe that I get to eat this. And God made this for me. And this tastes so good. And I'm so excited that God made this right here. We don't usually do that, do we? We just take it all for granted. But how much more would we rejoice in God and glory in God if we really did just stop and say, wow, Lord, this is amazing. These strawberries are so good. And you made these. And those nectarines that are going to come out this summer and hopefully be on my tree in my backyard, those are really good too. And that watermelon. And, you know, all of the grains and all of these things. You know what I'm saying? We just live in the middle of it. We just go shopping and there it is on the racks. And we just, you know, we don't think in, you know, walking through the grocery store, we ought to be just going, God, you're so good. Lord, I just rejoice in you. Now, I don't do that, but I should. This is like, you know, we're just dull in our minds and our hearts are hard. But this is the kind of thing. We've got to exercise ourselves in these areas. But, you know, in thinking about the providential goodness of God, I was thinking also, you know, even about family and friends and things like that. You know, the Bible says that God has placed people strategically in the world. Acts chapter 17, God has put the boundaries for the nations. He's arranged for this thing. So it wasn't an accident, the family that you were born into and the people that you've associated with and the people that have been a blessing in your life and all of that. Those are all part of the providential goodness of God. And if we would, you know, if we looked at other people sometimes and said, wow, Lord, thank you. You know, thank you for my parents. Thank you for my kids. Lord, thank you for my friends. Thank you for these neighbors. Thank you for, you know, just whoever it might be that's been a blessing in our lives. These are all part of God's goodness. But then also we meditate on God's holiness, his righteousness, his justice. Oh, we live in a world full of injustice, don't we? We live in a world full of inequity. We live in a world full of evil and sin and wickedness. But then we see God and he's holy and he's righteous and he has laws and he's just and he's promised to vindicate and he's promised that everything's going to be sorted out ultimately. And so sometimes we see justice come in our own lifetimes. Sometimes we see it delayed. But we can know for sure because of the picture that we have of God in his word, we know that it's all going to get sorted out in the end. He's going to put everything right. And you know, when you see the injustices and you see things happen, which there are many these days, aren't there? And you look and you just think, you know, that is wrong. That should not happen. That is unfair. That is terrible. And you see people just, you know, in wickedness and oppression and getting away with it. And you're just like, Lord. But then you think, okay, God, you said that there was a day of judgment. You said that there was going to be an appointment for every man at the judgment seat. So we rejoice in the fact that God is righteous, that he is holy, that he is just. And then we meditate on God's love. And we did that a little bit last time, didn't we? As we took a little more time to look at that great demonstration of God's love. But we don't stop doing that, but we keep going back and thinking about the love of God, that greatest demonstration of all, Christ dying for us. And not only that, but the love of God is also demonstrated toward us through other Christians, through other believers, people who love us, just like God loves us. God's put his love for us in the hearts of others, and they express love toward us. I think of all of the love that I've experienced as a Christian coming from other people. People just love you and want to bless you and want to do things for you with no desire for anything in return. We just want to be a blessing to you. That's a manifestation of the love of God. So all of these things, we meditate on these things. We think about them. And we allow these things to take us back to God because that's where they all originated. And we just say, Lord, you're the author of these things. And that will cause our hearts to rejoice. But then also, there is that place to talk about these things amongst ourselves. And this is what fellowship is, you know, really. It's talking about these things. It's sharing with one another these wonderful things that God has done. These wonderful things that we've discovered about who God is and, you know, his creative power and his wisdom and all of these things. And we talk and we share with each other. And we just say, man, the Lord is good. And we build each other up in our understanding as we communicate with each other. But then thirdly, we praise. Rejoicing in God, Paul says, you know, praising the Lord, or as we often say, worshiping the Lord, singing to him, singing about him. These are ways to cultivate that heart that will rejoice in God. It's a beautiful thing. So we don't just, you know, sit down and sing songs without our minds being engaged. But we think about what we're saying. You know, sometimes during a time, you know, time of praise and worship, sometimes what I like to do is not sing for maybe a stanza or two. I like to just listen and think about the words and really meditate on, okay, this is what we're saying to the Lord. And, you know, then come back in to sing. That's the kind of thing we're doing. It's another form of meditation. It's another way, you know, with the music to just get our focus on the Lord. I haven't done this for a while, but I used to do it pretty frequently. I used to just take a hymnal, an older hymnal, and just go back to some of the really classic hymns, like especially the Wesley's hymns and Watts and those guys. And I just go back and I just read through those hymns. They have so much glorious truth in these hymns, so much wonderful theology. And occasionally, if I knew the melody, I would just, you know, be alone in my room and I'd just sing those hymns. But as we do this, as we meditate, as we talk about, as we praise, as we worship, you know, here's what's going to happen. We're going to develop. And this is what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about cultivating something. I'm talking about developing something where we have a heart that is inclined to rejoice in the Lord. We're rejoicing in God. And He's becoming more and more the focal point. He's becoming more and more the center of my affection. And I'm excited about the work of God. And I'm so, you know, happy to be involved in service to God and doing the ministry. But that's not the end of it. That's not the final thing. It's the Lord Himself and meeting with Him and being able to just say, you know, Lord, I love You. I remember reading the autobiography of Billy Graham. And of course, you could hardly find anybody even in history who has done more to get the gospel to people than Billy Graham has, right? And at the end of the biography, and it's the autobiography, it's a wonderful story of his life and his ministry and all the places he's been and the things that he's done. And you know, he's a very humble man, so there's nothing arrogant about it. It's just the facts. This is what God did. But at the end of the thing, and what, he's 93 now, so he's about 83 back then, you know, recognizing that he's close to his departure, he says this at the end. He says, looking back on all that God's done, he said, but what I'm really looking forward to more than anything else is the day that I can look in the eyes of my Savior Jesus and thank Him for saving me. And I remember reading that and just being so touched. That's what it's really all about. At the end of the day, that's the issue. That we love God, that we rejoice in Him, that He's the center of all of these other things, and that all of those blessings and everything else that we're talking about here, that all of these things, they just point back to Him. They just bring us back to a focus on Him. And so that's what Paul says here. We rejoice in the certainty of heaven. We even rejoice in tribulations. But not only that, we rejoice also in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. Of course, all of this is possible, this communion, this enjoyment of fellowship with God, it's all possible because of Jesus. He's the one who's reconciled us. He's the one who's brought us back into the relationship with God, our Father.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource, a devotional written by Pastor Brian.
I am holding in my hands the resource offered this month, and it's a 40-day journey through the Gospel of John.
And you know that probably my favorite gospel is the Gospel of John.
Yep.
I just absolutely love it. So I taught through the Gospel of John some years ago, and this book is based on the teaching through the Gospel of John, and it's broken up into 40 daily sections, a devotional, really, that people can read and get blessed by. And I think it's a beautiful book with a nice cover.
Great gift.
And I think it's a great gift.
Yep.
You know, an interesting thing about this book is it's a devotional for Christians, but I've had a number of people that have actually used it as somewhat of an evangelistic tool. So I think it's good for both believers and an introduction to Christianity for unbelievers as well.
You can order your copy of When God Became One of Us by Pastor Brian for yourself or as a gift for a friend or family member at backtobasicsradio.com by scrolling down and clicking on the donate button. We appreciate your generous support for this ministry. For a donation of any size, we will send you a copy of When God Became One of Us, written by Pastor Brian. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.